give God one more hand clap of praise for. We bless God for Sister Christy. She is exactly and all about what our ministry is about. Amen. Second chance is given by God. And when you've been given a second chance, yeah. And when you've been given a second chance by God, you don't need another chance by man. Amen. You might want to write that down. When you've been given a second chance by God, you don't need another chance by man. Amen. We bless God. So we've got a lot of teaching to do today. And so there's going to be some things that's going to be on the screen that you might not be able to write down as quickly, but we will be, you are able to take your cell phones and take a picture of what it is that we have on the screen so that you can have it for your personal use. Or we're trying to get this on the page, and Satan is really busy today because he is fighting us. We never have a problem getting this on our page just by going simply Facebook Live, but now we're having issues with it. Did you figure it out? It's not even letting you go live. Yeah, so it's not letting you go live on the group page. Just clap your hands, because Satan knows. Satan knows he's in trouble. Amen. Satan knows he's in trouble. Amen. So we are going to, now I don't want this done on live. This is personal. This is personal. So if it's not on our page, it's not on there. And we'll get it to everybody on the page. Amen. All right. So is that the personal page? Is that our page? Okay. So that's all I wanted on is our page. I want to reinstate. I want to redefine. Read whatever. You know what the word I'm trying to find. I only want it on the Unity Worship Center page. Amen. Okay. So check this out. I got a question before I got started, and it's a reason that the high schoolers are in here today, and a few middle schoolers that are here today. There's a reason for all of this. Bless God. So that lets you know that your children love their teacher. Amen. Your children's children. Hey, is that Teresa in the house? Hey, give a clap. Yeah. On the ventilator, now she's here. Amen. Amen. On the ventilator, now she is here. Is God good? Amen. Amen. The number is in the millions of people that was on the ventilator and didn't make it out. But we are sitting in the presence of a woman of God that was in double pneumonia and fighting this thing for about a month and a half or whatever. And isn't God good? Amen. I'm sorry that I lost my decorum, but I got excited when I seen a miracle. You got to learn how to get excited when you see a miracle. In fact, every morning when you wake up and look in the mirror with all the hell that you've been through, you ought to get excited that you see a miracle in your reflection. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know about nobody else, but I know I should not be here. And if it had not been for the goodness of the Lord who was on my side, I'd really have no idea of where I would be. And so we have to learn how to celebrate ourselves, because God found us worthy enough to create a miracle through us. Amen. And when you see people that shouldn't be here because they've been through hell and high water, or you see them in their right mind after they have the legal right to have lost their right mind a long time ago, you should get excited, because again, you have seen a miracle. Amen. When Christy stands before you and does a poem after she OD'd 10 times and God saw fit to bring her back. But did you peep the game? He didn't just see fit to bring her back. He seen fit to bring her back and bring her here. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Y'all better recognize. Amen. Amen. Excited to be in the house of the Lord. We good now? We good? All right. Let's have church. So I want to ask you some questions real quickly, and this is all because this is a teaching that I have done before, but we wasn't ready for it. None of us was ready for it. And so listen, over here, I want you listening. You're in the sanctuary because I asked for you to be. So I want you listening, and I'm going to break this down to the best of my ability so that you can hear it and understand it. not just hear it, but I want you to understand it. So how many of you in here are saved? This is not a joke. I'm not setting you up for failure or any of that. I promise. This teaching is too deep for this. Okay, so how many of us in here are saved, but we have some issues working it out sometimes? Sometimes, and more than what we'd like to admit, we find ourselves on the wrong side of it, though it's truly in our heart. Amen? Amen. All right. So we're going to learn some things today, and you're going to take some notes, and you're going to, so that they've got it taped. They got it working. Okay. So you're going to learn some things today that will bless you if you will apply them. And I want to say this again. I'm dealing with you youth, you young people, because you are under an attack that you know and understand nothing about. You think that we're just being mean, we're just being parents, that we've never lived, that we don't get it. But I want to tell you beautiful young ladies up there, you three beautiful young ladies up there, because you are beautiful, but more importantly, because you are called, Satan has a specific attack for your life to destroy you. And all of you have come from the old church, and so you've come from, you've come from the womb. You've come from Jesus to in Jesus. So I don't want a bunch of smiling up there, because this is serious. And smiling tells me you think you're cute, but I promise you, you don't understand it. You don't understand it. That was rough, Pastor. No, the world is rough. The world is rough. I want them to be okay. They're going to be okay. They're ours. There's no reason why they should not grow up okay, because they are ours. Amen. And we're going to put that work in, and we're going to make sure that they get what they need to get so that Satan doesn't have his way. Amen? Amen. A definition that I want to give you, it's not a definition that I made, but one of my mentors made this definition, and I felt it so powerful that we needed to use it for this ministry. And the definition for the word kingdom that we will from here on out use in this ministry, as you see it on the screen, is the governing influence of a king over his territory and domain, impacting them with his will and intent in order to produce a culture of values, morals, and lifestyles that reflect the king's nature and desires for his people. Pretty deep, huh? You can take a picture of it if you feel like you need to. Let's look at it again. The governing influence of a king over his territory and domain. So we know that Jesus is our king, and his governing influence, his territory and his domain is this building right here. All of us, this body of believers, all of you are the church. And so all of you are churches. And so his rule and his domain is over us. And guess what? It should impact us with his will and intent in order to produce a culture of values, morals, and lifestyles that reflect the king's nature and desires for his people. So in other words, Jesus's impact should produce Jesus's values. Jesus's impact should produce Jesus's morals. Jesus's impact, you understand what I'm saying to you, should produce lifestyle of Jesus. So in other words, Jesus's impact should have you operating in the Word, in totality, all together, all the way, not a little bit, but all of it. So if you are of the kingdom of God, in other words, if you are saved, you are what's called a kingdom disciple. And what should happen in your lives, especially while you're so young, let me tell you something. You three should be the most saved in the church, because you came from the womb to the church. Lord have mercy. So everything about your lives should look like the Word. And I want you to understand this: as you get older and as you all go on in life, if you allow the kingdom impact to actually impact you, then your whole life will change. What I'm asking you today before we go any further is, how many of you in here really want to be real about Jesus? I don't know, it's easy to say it, but how many of you really want to be real about Jesus? Like I said, because in the street, we was definitely trying to be real for Satan, right? We said stuff like that, right?
I keep it real. You know, I keep it 100.
Well, who are you keeping it 100 for, a sinner? Because if you're a sinner, then God is not your God. The God of, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is not your God if you're a sinner. And how do you know that if you're a sinner? It's if you sin constantly. If you have it, you know, if you mess up, you do wrong once or twice here and there, yeah, you know, you're having a moment. But if you are constantly doing wrong, that is a habit. That is who you are. And so I want you to get an understanding that if you are a kingdom disciple, you should be impacted by the word. You should be impacted by the word. And let me tell you something. There's enough of you that are kingdom disciples in this building that you raise your hand that the overdose ratio should go down. The youth killings should go down. Why? Because if you are a true kingdom disciple, what it is that you are telling people, what it is that you are teaching people, what it is that you are witnessing to people has the power to change their lives. But you have to ask yourself a question, disciples. Am I a kingdom disciple? Let's find out. So we have that definition again. The governing influence of a king over his territory and domain, impacting them with his will and intent in order to produce a culture of values. So you are the culture. Our values should be holiness, righteousness. You understand what I'm saying to you? Love, peace, joy. You know, this would be our characteristics as well. You understand what I'm saying to you? Okay, so get this. Jesus Christ himself is the king of the kingdom of God. Okay? Jesus Christ himself is the kingdom of the kingdom of God. So we get that, right? So I'm going to say some things that might upset you. So your old past ain't. So what he thought about it don't matter. Your pastor now is not. So what I think about it don't matter if it's not what God is saying. Amen? So let's be very careful to understand this. Jesus Christ himself is the king of the kingdom of God. God's kingdom is an invisible kingdom, and it works from the inside out. Amen? A good natural picture of the kingdom would be in the context of an embassy. Let's just say the United States has ambassadors, and all nations that are a part of the Geneva Convention or the United Nations, they have embassies set up in their nations, and they allow ambassadors from other nations who are a part of the United Nations to come and then conduct the affairs of a sovereign nation within the geographical grid of the respective territory. I'm going to make it real plain here in a second. Don't worry about it. So in other words, the United States is our nation's in the United States and our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., there are embassies for every nation that is a part of the United Nations, and these nations send their ambassadors to America to live inside the embassies. And they have what's known as diplomatic immunity. They are not subject to the laws of America because the laws of their land have been deemed to be suitable for America. And those ambassadors have been sent by their nation to America to represent their nation, but to also uphold their laws and their standards and their morals and their values in a sovereign land. You with me? Now you and I, being born again of God's Spirit, we are a part of the kingdom of God. Amen? And we live inside what is known as God's embassy. Okay? And within this realm, we are responsible, get this is going to be important, we are responsible to live out the statutes, the ordinances, and the commandments of the one who has sent us, Jesus Christ, our King. And we are to execute his will in whatever territory he has planted us in. Amen? So in other words, when you get to work, you have been planted. When you get to school, you have been planted. When you get to the doctor's office in the waiting room, you have been planted. And your job, while planted, is to execute God's will into that earth realm, into that place. When you walk in, if they are not familiar with the kingdom disciples, if they are not familiar with kingdom tendencies, then they should become familiar with kingdom tendencies because you have now entered the building. You are unlike anybody else in the earth realm. You understand what I'm saying to you? You don't cuss. And I know every now and then you let a little go and all of that. Well, now you are under direct order to cut it all out. Not too long ago, so that my daughter understands that I'm not a hypocrite. I'm working from two or three angles today. Is that all right? Not long ago, and sometimes, many times, something would upset me to a point to where I would find myself out of pocket. I would find myself saying things that I shouldn't. Let me just go ahead and be real with y'all and shame the devil because I'm so sick of these lying pastors. Sometimes I would cuss. And I would come and I turn around because, you know, we quick to justify things, right? Now watch this. Let me tell you something. I was honest one time and folk left the church. But from what I understand, they ain't found no church. They've been going from church to church. And you better learn how to appreciate somebody going to be honest with you, okay? Because most of these cats in these pulpits be lying. And I ain't dogging them. I'm just telling the truth. Because they want you to think that they are something that they're not. And that's part of the problem of being a pastor. We allow too much pressure on ourselves trying to be perfect in front of people who ain't perfect themselves but have the audacity to think that we're supposed to be perfect. So I'd let it go, right? And I would turn around and I'd say, now, Maya, I apologize. Daddy shouldn't be talking like that. And I just lost my cool. That really upset me. That really wasn't right, you know. And I'm going to repent. And, you know, and that's what I would do. And in my heart, I was justifying it. Well, one time I wrote my daughter a letter. And I said, and let me tell you something, fathers, get active in your children's, write them letters. Just because it's Tuesday, just write them. And so when I said, I'm sorry for how I have been as a father. The Lord had convicted me on some things. And I said, and I hope you can believe me. And she wrote the coldest thing anybody ever wrote me back. She says, yes, sir, you've said this before. Heavy. So what about those of you that ain't writing no letters? That don't know what they thinking? And you've been justifying your mess for years now. Here's why I acted like that. Here's why. So today I want you all to understand. I want to say I'm sorry to you as well as my daughter. And the battle of profanity is over in my life. That's not even a battle. It's just not going to happen anymore. See, and that's because I made a decision. And you too can make a decision off everything that you're going through. You can say, this isn't going to happen in my life anymore. That's it. And it's over with. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, when this happens, you got to be careful because the enemy of your peace, he going to show up. So today after church, I'm going to be like this. I'm going to be like this. Just stick to me because you holy. Just stick to me because you holy. I don't know nobody holy as you. So you just stick to me because you holy and it's upset me and I'm about ready to let go. So stick to me because you holy. And I can't hold you and be unholy. Stick to me. Because he is waiting like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may to devour. Amen? Yeah. He would love for me to have to walk in here Sunday and go, oops, I did it again. So everywhere you are planted, you are to disperse kingdom attributes, kingdom characteristics. There should be something different and strange, peculiar about you. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so when we talk about kingdom disciples, we are talking about people who have subjected themselves to the rule of a king, not from a list of do's and don'ts and a bunch of strict rules, but a rule that is birthed out of love and of commitment. You understand what I'm saying to you? One that's birthed out of gratitude and appreciation for the things God himself has done in your life. On a very personal level. Now, the word disciple is interesting because in Matthew chapter 13, verse number 52, Jesus is quoted saying, "Then he said to them, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." So get this, kingdom disciples understand that we cannot discredit nor disqualify the old covenant because we are now under grace. Okay? You'll have some preachers that will tell you, don't you worry about the Old Testament because we in grace now. And I myself have said, but it wasn't in error. I meant it when I said it. I'm like, look here, you doing a whole lot of focusing on the stories and the words in the Old Testament, but you live under grace. And the reason why I told them that they needed to stick in the New Testament for a while was because they were trying to live by the law and not grace. And if you're going to try to live by the law, then you got to live by the law all the time. You got to keep all of the law all of the time. Or you've got to keep all the time, you got to keep all of the law. But you can never keep some of the law some of the time. You've got to keep it all. And so I'm not going to go into any type of theological debate about certain denominations that's even in this city, but I'm just going to say that if you are going to be a person who lives by Old Testament, by the laws and the commandments of the Old Testament only, then you have to be right all the time. Ain't you glad for grace? Woo. That we serve a Jesus that just totally understood we ain't going to get it all right all the time. But let me just tell you this, we can. Ooh, that was a challenge, wasn't it? We can. And you have to decide, in order to be able to live by all of the word all of the time, you have to make a decision that nothing and no one is going to get in the way of you operating solely for the Lord. And let me tell you something. When you make that decision, people are going to stop liking you. Good. It's less people that you got to buy Christmas gifts for. You know. I, right around this time, I get super holy, so people will just drop off. Just drop off. We got a couple months, and I know folk want gifts. No, I'm just playing. But you have to, as you begin to pursue God at a crazy rate, folk will leave you alone. They'll say stuff like, you know, you might be part of a cult or something. I don't really know if that's God. You know, they make up reasons, and the reason that they make up these reasons is because they are not willing to live by what God has said. Now this blows my mind. We was willing to live by what Satan said. Got betrayed. Got betrayed because we got betrayed being faithful to Satan. Anybody ever been betrayed being faithful to Satan? Got betrayed being faithful to Satan, and God delivered us, right? And then we was like, but Satan's way felt better. You understand? So listen to what I'm saying to you. So all of a sudden when God begins to say, this is a wrap. This is a no-no. We don't do this over here. This ain't how we get down. And then all of a sudden you're sitting over going, all alone on a Sunday morning. It was so much easier when I was in the world. At least I had some friends. At least I know you didn't. You didn't have any friends. You had hell partners. You had people that was going to burn in hell with you. You see. You better get excited about the good news. You better get excited about you don't have to stay where you were. You better get excited about God gives us this other chance, this another chance. You understand what I'm saying to you? You better get excited that mercies are brand new every day. You better get excited about that type of conversation. Yeah, thank you. Kingdom disciples understand that we cannot disqualify or discredit because we are the old law, because we are now under grace. But the Old Testament is, I want you to get this, but the Old Testament, it is a roadmap for revelation and insight on how a kingdom believer is to really govern the affairs of the king within the context of the new covenant. So if we are really instructed in the kingdom, we can bring forth treasure out of both the Old and the New Testament.
And in the Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Can I just talk to about five depressed people in here? You might want to, out of those verses, you just might want to lock in on, "And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world." Don't make no never mind what it is that's got you down. Don't make no never mind what it is that's coming up against you. I am with you always, even until the end of the world. What was that right there? What was that? That was a praise moment. Clap your hands in. Yeah, praise moment. Now listen, don't be like kids in the classroom. Like when they know the answer, but they don't want to seem smart, so they don't do it. They don't raise their hand. When you hear the word of God, when you hear Jesus say something like, "And I am with you always, even until the end of the world," you should have lost your mind. Why? Because as long as Jesus is with you, you won't suffer defeat in what it is trying to defeat you. You should have lost your mind, because no matter what it is, whatever's trying to overwhelm you, it does not have the power to overwhelm you. Why? Because Jesus is with you everywhere. So now the word instruct and the word teach have the same root meaning in the Greek. And this is where the word disciple comes from, the word teach or instruct. And it gives the connotation to make the disciple one with his teacher or instructor in doctrine or in deed. You are to be made one with your teacher or your instructor in doctrine and in deed. And here is one of the challenges that we are facing in the body of Christ, that a lot of people who have purposed to become one with Jesus and his doctrine, but there is no continuity or there's no flow, you understand, of their oneness in deeds. For the message, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, I believe, 1 and something, it says, "For the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Notice, us that are being saved. We're going to being saved till we die. This is why no matter where we get in God, we can always be taught. Because we are being saved. We ain't just saved and it's over with. We are being saved. This is what you call procession. What do you call it? Sanctification. Progressive sanctification, my man. Progressive sanctification. What does that mean? That every day. And so we have to understand what sanctification is. It means being set aside, being set apart for God's holy use. And so every day we progressively set ourselves aside. So why? How does that happen? You begin to have decisions that will either, the choice of your decisions will be holy or unholy. Yeah. Last week you would have chose unholy. This week you should walk out of here choosing holy. Yeah. So now we have a progressional, thank you, sanctification. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so what does that mean? It means simply, I am being saved daily. You get this. You get this. This ain't no, you read the whole Bible in a year and then, you know, pass 50 questions and now you're saved. No, baby. This is for the rest of your life. Right. Amen. Oh, God. All right, so here we go. So get this. And there is a need for disciples. One of our great deficiencies we have is not a deficiency in the word. You get the word. Not a deficiency in teaching. You get taught. But a deficiency in continuity or flow from when we learn of his ways and begin to duplicate his ways. How many of you have left out of here with a word? Amen. And you said, you know what, it's on. And you begin to operate in what you learn. You went home, you checked it out in the Bible. Okay, pastor's right. So you begin to do what the word said do, right? And then all of a sudden, something gets your attention, and now all of a sudden you ain't, you was at three straight Bible studies. You understand what I'm saying? And you had been to church two times in a row, and even gave a little bit. And people that was around you, connected to you, they begin to see a difference in you, the way that you kept yourself, the way that you conversated, the way that you applied, you know, the word of God to your life. They begin to see this difference, and then all of a sudden he started acting up. Here you go again, putting us in it. Yeah, because look around. There's more women in this church than it is men. Yeah. Grandson, I want you focused, because see, you deal with a lot of what I'm talking about every day. And if you don't learn how to deal with them in a kingdom manner, then the kingdom of darkness will grab hold of you. Yeah. See. So why does he talk about, why does he bring on the women? Because one, you know, most oft times the men don't show up. And the reason that I have to talk to the women is because, you know, you can let your unsaved man throw away your salvation. You'll let your unsaved man throw away your saved self. And that is insane. That is insane. That should never happen. So I have to speak mainly to the women, and I'm not men bashing. You understand? I'm not women bashing. I'm just teaching, because I believe that if you teach a woman, you teach a man, you teach an individual. You teach a woman, you teach a nation. See, here's the reality. Let some of these doughboys' girlfriends cut them off. Let me tell you something. You know why ratting is so high in the streets? It ain't because they're going to miss their mama. It's because they worried about what their woman going to do. Am I talking in here? Boy, that's why they don't like me. Now, let me tell you why I say something about that. Because a man, especially one in the street, he will never break the code unless he's worried about his woman ain't going to be 100. And then you'll find him doing some of the craziest of things. Tony, you know I'm telling the truth. And so get this. What does that tell you? That woman had power over him that he never understood until he faced losing her. Some of the problem with some of the women in our church is you don't give your bae, your boo, your dude, your husband, you don't give him the opportunity to walk out the door if he ain't gonna live right. If he's not going to respect what it is that you have been called to respect, that you have decided to respect. And because you don't, he implements himself in the house as God. Because that's how you treat him. I treated him like a God. Well, that was your first problem. How many women have actually said that? Tell the truth, shame the devil, because I don't know a lie. I treated him like a God. Yeah. 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 Yeah, deep in here, didn't it? I treated him like a God. Well, you see, you was out of pocket. You the reason. Be mad at yourself. So I have to address the women in these issues, because if y'all will stop tripping because they tripping, the church would blow up. Guess what? If y'all would stop tripping because they tripping, they would show up. Yeah. The Bible says follow him as he follows Christ. If he ain't following Christ, why are you following him? Why you are in sin for following him if he don't follow Christ. You see what I'm saying to you? Now, I'm not trying to break up a happy home, but if I'm talking to anybody in here, then the home probably ain't that happy anyway. You understand what I'm saying to you? Get this. And so we need you to take what you learn and duplicate his ways. Take what you read in the Word of God and duplicate what you read in the Word of God, and have some continuity, have some flow, have some all the time about you. And when something comes up against your ship, when something comes up against your walk, don't just be thrown off by every little thing. Stay focused and stay God. Amen. And so, a disciple is one who has, in principle, that has become unified with his teacher in doctrine and in deed. Now, I want you to catch this. In a natural learning institution, you can go to a place and get educated, and there is nothing that says you have to become like your instructor or become like your teacher. Unlike in the kingdom of Jesus, it teaches. He's not just teaching you for you and I to become recipients or conduits or channels of revelation alone, but he's imparting his life because he is the Word. So I want you to be careful. You've probably already seen it in college. You've probably already dealt with some of these professors that say things about God or oppose God. And I've known many children or teenagers or young people to go off to college, and all of a sudden, you know, they believed when they left. They kind of believe when they left. But by the time that they get back, they don't believe at all. Watch this. And they came back with more reasons why not to believe than they had when they left to believe. Oh, God. So you're in college. And so now, get this. You don't have to resemble. You don't have to agree. You don't have to be on board with what your college instructors say. You just got to pass the class. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, you have to be at one with your instructor, who is Christ, who is our Holy Spirit. You have to be at one with our Lord, Christ Jesus. You have to be at one with him in every area of your life. Are you going to fail the class?
Yeah.
You're going to fail the class. You see? What are you saying to me, Pastor? You just can't know it. You can't be just at one with his Bible, with his word. You have to be at one with his word in how you operate. In your deeds, they ought to show. You understand me, young people up there? You ought to show, and you too back there trying to hide, sit up, come to church and be present, or don't come to church. We don't play that game. So you.
Hey, it was beautiful. Maya, we've got boatloads of video. Auburn, she is the first baby that ever walked to the altar in our church and got down on the church, covered herself, and went into prayer. You understand what I'm saying to you? But now if you ask them same babies, you still dancing for God? Or what your TikTok look like? Still singing for God? God's still getting all the glory? Has the world become a little attractive? If you catch them in the most honest times, they'll tell you, world done got a little more attractive. And it's going to happen as they get older. So they have to know. You understand what I'm saying to you? They have to know how to deal with these things. You need to, what you have learned, you are supposed to do. That's it. What you have learned, you are supposed to do. So, get this. 1 John verse number 1 and 2 declares, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Then we go to John 1 and 14, and it says, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And so Jesus is concerned with his disciples becoming one with him in his doctrines and in his deeds. To know the Word but not do the Word makes you a smart dummy. That's all. That's all. Stop debating when you ain't saved. And stop debating with people who's not saved. What do we care what they think anyway? And so get this. It's one thing to learn about the apostolic, the prophetic, the deliverance, the miracles, the faith, the healing, the word of knowledge, discernment, and the spirit to get all these things to flow in you. But then there is a lapse in continuity or in governing your affairs, in relating to people, in treating one another. So you can speak in tongues, but don't speak to people. You so holy, you can quote all the scriptures, but don't nobody like you. Now, when don't nobody like you and you think it's everybody else, then that makes you insane. Hold on, because don't nobody fool with me? Then they all going to hell. Maybe not. Maybe it is insane to think that everyone could be wrong but you. Amen? So you can't quote scripture but not be forgiving. Yeah, you know, you done cut some people off, but you claim you walking in righteousness. And I understand when you have to cut people off so that you can walk in righteousness, but don't get so spiritual bougie that all of a sudden everybody need to be cut off because don't nobody get it but you. You know, you Lord have mercy. You speaking in tongues, but you ain't got no integrity. Yeah. I've been there. I've played that game, so I know it when it's being played. You know what I'm saying? See, what you got to realize is that being holy for the people around you won't get you to heaven. And everybody else can believe that you saved, but if God know you ain't, you don't get in. Oh, Lord, have mercy. See, I spent a long part of my pastoral, concerned with what everybody knew. Yeah. You ever do that? What they matter anyway? The Bible says don't be concerned about the one that can just take your life physically. Be worried about the one that can take your life and your soul. That's who you be concerned with. You understand what I'm saying to you? So what we have is we have people being spiritual, but they don't, they just can't keep this thing going spiritual for the moment. You see, so when it comes to kingdom disciples, we have a deficiency of them, but I really believe that God is raising the standard for them, and that he's calling for a people in the earth who will embrace a fullness of his word and will begin to execute the deeds that we see in him and will also match our lifestyles or the ways that we live. Are you getting this today? Are you getting this today? Let me read it again because that is very important. So when it comes to kingdom disciples, we have a deficiency of them, but I really believe that God is raising a standard for them and that he's calling a people in the earth who will embrace the fullness of his words. What does that mean, embrace the fullness of his word? In other words, you don't pick and choose what parts you're going to keep. When the word says something that you are not to do and you really want to do it, but you know you're not to do it, you embrace the fact that the word said don't do it and you don't do it. And you've just grown as a kingdom disciple. Now let me go ahead. Let me go ahead because the Spirit just told me something's going on. And being a kingdom disciple does not dictate what denomination you are a part of. Huh? We throw that word out of here. Denomination. We just throw that word out because it can be demonic at times. You understand? So don't think, I'm gonna see Baptist kingdom disciples. I'm going to see Pentecostal, apostolic. I'm going to see, kingdom disciples. So I don't want you to think that I'm pushing a denomination because, see, we have been taught that when you begin to talk about kingdom and when you begin to talk about apostolic and when you begin to talk about, you must be talking about a denomination. No, baby, I'm talking about a way to live. This is a way to live. And we'll begin to execute the deeds. The deeds is what you read in the word. The deeds is what he tells you to do. You will begin to execute the deeds that we see in him that will also match our lifestyles and the way we live. So in other words, we should look like the Bible and the Bible should look like us. You should come to a point in your studying, a point after some years, you should come to a place where nothing throws you off about what you've read because that's how you live anyway. Now, God will always blow our minds and give us new revelation and all of that. But the reality is, when he's the you shouldn't and the you should not, the you shoulds and the you should not be surprising to you. I'll say that now. It shouldn't be surprising to you. So we want to duplicate what we see in him. Now, in Matthew 28, it's basically the culmination of all things as it relates to Jesus' beginning to release the kingdom. And he's articulating his mission to his disciples. He informs them about the authority that's been given to him, both in heaven and in earth. And the disciples are charged with the service of taking Christ's message and teaching the nation. And if you are kingdom disciples, then you are charged with taking Jesus's message and teaching everybody you come in contact with. Lord, have mercy. So our preaching, our teaching, our proclamation, what it is that we declare, what it is that we say of the good news should not just be activating people to hear and instructing them in doctrine only. It should be power backing the things that we proclaim. So the lifestyles begin to match that of our King Jesus Christ. In other words, Jesus wants us to the point to where when we begin to witness, because we've been so in that word, that when we begin to witness, people begin to say stuff like, there's something going on with you right now. And you be humble enough to say, don't worry about that. Let's worry about what needs to be going on with you. Because we can't wait to get home and say, I was witnessing to such and such, and they said, and I was feeling the power of the Lord, and they said, there's something going on with me right now. I mean, God was just using me. Doesn't sound very humble, does it? Sounds like you probably checked out after you got the compliment, and whatever else happened after that is the reason why they didn't get saved. You've got to stay focused on the mission. And when you're dealing with these children, when you're dealing with people out here in the world, when you're dealing with these addicts, when you're dealing with prostitutes, when you're dealing with your mama, when you're dealing with your daddy, when you're dealing with your uncle, whoever ain't saved, when you're dealing with them, you have got to be focused on the mission, and ain't nothing they can say to throw you off what it is that you're supposed to be talking about. So many of you walk away from your assignment undone because y'all argued. Some of you have been in here when you've come into my office, I said, I need to talk to you, and this is not a dialogue. In other words, I don't want to hear anything that you have to say. This is a monologue. You've talked enough. You need to listen. And there's some people in all of your lives that have just talked too much when you want to bring up the things of God. And I'm going to tell you what they're doing. They're not trying to agree with you. They're trying to wiggle. They're wiggling out of it, and you're taking the bait every time that you go back and forth with them. Sometimes you need to say, shut up. I love you. Now you need to listen because you don't know everything. You see, there's power in shut up when it's used wholly. Amen. Now I want to just add a few more things. What time is it? Oh, I got time. Are you learning anything today? Are you learning anything? You learning? Okay. All right. Because it might be a little boring. But usually what you need it is. I always say, pizza's good, but Brussels sprouts, not so much. So we will eat the pizza, but we want the Brussels sprouts. I work alone. That's why the pizza's $5. But the Brussels sprouts are expensive. Oh God. Let me get back to this. Get this, okay? I want to add just a few more things in reference to kingdom disciples, and I'm going to give you some attributes of kingdom disciples real quickly. You ready? Number one, kingdom disciples live their lives for the service of the king and the advancement of his kingdom. Is this your life? Don't lie, you in church. Kingdom disciples live their lives for the service of the king and the advancement of his kingdom. Is that why you live your life? Or do you live your life to take care of your children? Or do you live your life to take care of your business? Do you live your life to put away a nice 401k? What do you live your life for? Tell the truth. So you're saying a kingdom disciple lives their lives for the service of the king and the advancement of the kingdom. So in other words, you are always at the king's beck and call. Whenever the king calls, you're there to answer. Now, are we kingdom disciples? Or do we need to get it in gear? And it's okay if you figure out, I'm not where I should be, because most of us aren't. You understand what I'm saying to you? But the thing is to get where we need to be. See, you know what was dope about the old church? You know why the old church had so much power? You know why the old church members, let me tell you something, the old church knew something. I went to my sister's grandmother's, my sister in the Lord, Bernice, I went to her grandmother's home going, and this lady got up and she was on the usher board and she said, I've been here 56 years. I said, not with all the pride in my church. You got to sit down and tell people how much you love them before you discipline them, because they'll get up mad at you and leave. And I wondered, I said, in 56 years, I wondered how, and her grandmother had been there 38 years, 38 years in one building. And it made me come back to the church. And some of you will remember when I said, can I get a commitment of 10 years from all of you? 20 years. I asked for 20 years. Can I get a commitment? Because 36 years and 56 years. Do you understand how much 38 years and 56? Do you understand how much these people got accomplished? And when you looked around the church, it was all of these older people. But that was okay because they had rows of young people that they had birthed into the church. And I began to look back at this church and Google and all the things. You know, they do scholarships and they do all this stuff that they was able to do because they took their feelings out of it. As all of us should, because our feelings are nowhere in the Bible. But when people leave the church, they don't leave because of a doctrinal dispute. They leave because their feelings was in it. Amen. When people stop showing up at church, they don't leave because I was wrong. They leave because I said it. You understand what I'm saying to you? Now, how is it that you can want to be saved and want to give your life to God and walk in the ways of God, but you don't want to do what God has asked you to do? How's that work? So we've got to get to the point at the Unity Worship Center to where we understand, hey, he preaches the truth. All the pastors preach the truth. They walk the truth. You know what? We learn from this. Our kids are doing better when it comes to the things of God about this. So if they're doing better about the things of God, then they're doing better about life. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so why in the world would you get upset because something you didn't like what someone said? Ain't that too much? Ain't you got too much invested just to get up and walk away because something didn't please you? Something rubbed you wrong? Isn't that a bit of adolescence? Listen, when you come in contact with believers who have reckoned the ultimate mandate for the believer, that is to live our lives to serve Jesus and then to advance his kingdom. So in other words, what I'm saying, so that y'all understand, is that you have to live your life, and it ought to show as you're living your life that you are serving Jesus. Can I just go ahead and be real with you? You know, some of you have cried on my shoulder at times. You know when people died? You know, some like you might like them in a TV show, and they OD'd, and they was drunk, and they there's that smile again. I'm telling you, Satan is coming at you through that smile. You better be careful. Better be careful, cause you ain't cute, but you need to be knowledgeable. You're beautiful, but you ain't cute. It's my grandchild. I can talk to her. So what I'm saying, listen to this. So you know how you've seen people on Nickelodeon and all of those shows, and they ended up dying in a car crash, or they OD'd, you found out there's something. You know what happened? They didn't have Jesus. They had all the money in the world. They had all the nice clothes in the world. They had all the friends. They had all the fans. But guess what they didn't have? The one thing that they needed, and that was Jesus. If you have Jesus, you ain't sitting down in somebody's hotel pumping something in your arm that could take you out. If you have Jesus, you're not in somebody's crack house getting high with every bit of money that you have because you can't be with Jesus and do that. If you have Jesus, you're not caught up at the liquor store and can't get away from it to the point to where you drive your car into a wall or into an oncoming traffic because Jesus gives you the strength to not fall victim to those type of issues. You can't have Jesus and have an addiction. You can't have Jesus and be the, no! The addiction might sneak its way in, but Jesus is going to meet that addiction. There is a standard within Jesus that won't allow the addiction to stay. Why am I sharing that with you young people? Because you young people need to start talking to the other young people about Jesus, because that's why they're walking around with guns. That's why they're walking around with drugs. That's why they don't go home at night. That's because they don't have Jesus. And early in your age, you've been given the responsibility to save some of the people that you are connected to. You can't be with them. You've got to be for them. Now listen, this is something that you will find consistent in any part of the world. When born-again believers understand the nature of their existence, the reason for your existence is to exalt the kingdom. You out here trying to get this new house, this new car. You out here trying to get this wedding. You want it to be off the hook. You're trying to get all of these different things. Your job is to exalt the kingdom. And it's okay to go after what you want as long as you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. The problem is we abandon everything that we're supposed to be doing, going after what it is that we want. And people are watching you. And as you sell God out, you sell out your effectiveness. Lord have mercy. So, something that you'll find consistent in any part of the world is when you understand the nature of their existence. It's interesting to note that when Jesus is dealing with the religious guy, a Pharisee by the name of Nicodemus, in the book of John, chapter 3, and he comes to Jesus by night asking him about being born again. And or how to access the kingdom of and how to access the kingdom. And Jesus tells him, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom. He cannot enter into the kingdom. Now, you can go to church but not be born again. Yeah, don't fall victim as so many preachers' kids and preachers' families have. You can go to church and not be born again. Yeah. My title don't get you in. You understand what I'm saying to you? Those of you that may be related to me in some type of way, it don't get you in. Because you tight with me don't get you in. You've got to work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling. Now get this. It's interesting that the phrase born again is a compound phrase, born again. It literally means to be procreated from on high, to be begotten of the Father, but not excluding the mother. Okay? So we don't play her off. We don't. She matters. It's the picture of a seed of God being in you, and you come through a natural birth canal, and God simply becomes your Father. He dwells in you by his Spirit, even though you've been born of a woman. You understand? You may be reproduced by the seed of a natural man, but the born again experience, the seed of God comes in you, and now it activates what's called a new birth. It does not negate your natural birth, but this is a spiritual birth. And so kingdom-minded believers live their lives from a higher realm. They live their lives from a different realm. They are not just subject to the things that are happening in the earth. They are not trendy people. We ain't supposed to be trendy people, jumping on every new wave. They aren't people that are governed by fads, but instead they are people who are governed by eternity. Being governed by an eternity. You know what's scary? And I'm not saying that I know this for a fact. I'm not even going to say that. The Lord said that'll bring offense. I'm not going to say that. See how I just did that? See how I just did that? I really want to say what I had on my mind, but the Lord said that would bring offense, so I'm not going to say that. You see that? Did you see that? Y'all know how well I like to say what I got to say. Yeah, I like to say what I got. If it came into my mind, it's supposed to, I need to say it. But the Holy Ghost said, don't say that. It'll bring offense. So whatever I had to say ain't worth you. And whichever one of you that, or all of you that it would have offended, it ain't worth that. And we have to learn that as Christians. See, sometimes, you know how you be trying to work them over? You can't work over people that you're discipling. You know, you done hit them with the elbow of John 3:16, you done put them in the headlock of Philippians 2 and 5, you done body slammed them in the strength of Galatians 3 and 18. No, you can't be working the people over. You got to give them the wording wall. So some of us are just a little too aggressive when we witnessing. You understand what I'm saying to you? We was down in Louisville, and there was this doctrine of people that, I don't know, they wear purple shirts, and they you know, they weren't going to let my baby into Walgreens. And the problem with that was she was going to get me a honey bun. And so hold on. So she comes out, and she's like, they wouldn't let me in there. I'm like, oh, the devil is a lie. You know, we're going to have to clean that up, player. How you doing this? You say, you too aggressive. Well, you know, I'm over here like, you think we need to take the pistol in Walgreens? Because they tripping. Because they're aggressive. You got to be careful not to, don't say that because it'll cause offense. You got to be careful not to just beat people down with the word. I have a saying. Anybody close to me knows it. What's my saying? That's super close. Smooth as what? goes the furthest. So I'm gonna give you the word. I'm gonna make a few, you know, and then I'm on about my business. Cause I have planted, did a little watering, but it's up to God to cause the increase. Some of y'all be walking in the apartment like, oh, you're gonna get saved tonight. And ain't nobody eating, ain't nobody watching TV. Cut the air off, put the windows down. Somebody's getting saved. You want air? Get saved. You want to eat? Get saved. You can't do that. You can't do that. Or they'll say it, and then they'll never answer your call or your door again. Amen. So some of y'all laughing because y'all did it. Took an overnight bag. Ain't nobody invites you to stay all night. If I got to stay all night, you're going to get saved tonight. You seem a little weird and you need to leave. Amen. Amen. Kingdom disciples adhere to a higher law. It's the word of God. The scripture declares that God has exalted his word above his name. And this is important, people of God, because you will find a lot of people that sometimes the word can be so challenging. Like in John chapter 6, Jesus was accused of his disciples of hard sayings. They were like, this is a hard saying. Who can adhere to it? Who can live what you're saying? This is so hard. And sometimes what the word will do, get this, this is on the board. You might want to take a picture of this one. Sometimes what the word will do is challenge our ideals, our mindsets. It will challenge our, get this, soul position. It will challenge our allegiances and most definitely challenge our wrong thinking. Anything that is not at one with the standard of the king, the word will challenge it. Ever been in that position? It will challenge your soul position. The position of where your soul is. In other words, it will challenge, are you saved? See, because far too many of us, even in this room, like what's wrong. Love what's wrong. And so because we are weak in the flesh, we give over to what's wrong. See, you know why fasting is hard for the majority of the people that come to this ministry? Because they don't fast. There's no practice. There's no, let me give it one day. There's no, you know, just let me fast for a couple of hours. There's no start. Because why? I have to appease my flesh. And so since I have no discipline in my flesh, on whatever level. If you have no discipline in your flesh, no matter what it's pertaining to, you have no discipline. Because a little leaven, in other words, a little sin makes way for a lot of sin. You understand what I'm saying to you today? Oh, Lord. So it will challenge your wrong thinking. How many of you have ever read the word and got mad? Or you've been in a debate with somebody and they pulled the Bible out and showed you something and you went, huh? and you trying not to, you know, because I sometimes I just want to be like, booyah! But then I have to start praying, be humble, Pastor. Lord, help me to be humble. Because I want to say, in your face. Loser, you know, yeah, and tell the truth. After you done, you're gonna keep on arguing with me, and then you're gonna keep on arguing, and then I show you in the word where you're wrong. You just want to let them know, don't you? How you look at our pastor, she's over going, see, y'all think it's just me, huh? You just want to let them know how you feel about that, huh? I know I do. You don't spend 2-3 minutes arguing with me about something you have absolutely no idea of what you're talking about. And then when I show it to you, you won't be like, and say something crazy like this. I'm going to have to look at that when I get home. No, I'm showing it to you now. It ain't going to change by the time you get home. It's going to say the same thing, no matter what version you go to. It's going to mean the same. What is that? Is that the new LT? Is that the NFL? That ain't. I read the New King James. No, stop. my God in heaven. Just say it. I was wrong. Thank God for correction. Amen. Amen. How much time I got? I got 7 minutes. All right. Lord, have mercy. We don't like nothing to challenge our thinking, do we? And it ain't even that you want to do what you want to do. It's just the fact that you're wrong. That's what make you mad. You know? Then you walk out saying something like, I don't really care what he's talking about. I'm grown. He ain't going to tell me what to do. Well, what was the whole debate about? If you ain't going to do what was right. So get this. I don't know why I keep fixing this head thing like it matters. And what a kingdom disciple will do is purpose to not just get the doctrine, but to come in compliance with their behavior. You can learn it and know it, but if your behavior doesn't support it, what's the big deal? This is the big deal, people of God. And there is one thing that helps fortify and solidify a kingdom disciple, and that is foundation. That's foundation. And this is what is lacking in the overall emphasis of the church. Kingdom disciples embrace training and equipping designed for works inspired by their king. See, the things that you should be training for and the things that you should be embracing and the things that should be equipping you should be inspired by Jesus. And if you'll take on a job and you'll take on its training, and you, for that first couple of days, that first week, you are so focused on the training of that job because you like the pay, you want to keep the job, you understand what it's going to do for you, then how in the world can that be more important than the training for your soul? Potentially for your children's soul. And this is a training that is daily. I'm bored. You shouldn't be. You ain't read the word yet. You ain't read all the word. I'm bored. You shouldn't be. You don't understand all of the word. With Google and people in your church that don't mind to sit down and break down and politic with you about this word, why are you bored? Because you're chasing after worldly things. You're not after kingdom things. Because kingdom people ain't never bored. We got stuff to do. Amen. And he's, well, see, that's what I'm talking about. All you want to do is be in the word. Well, that's just what you need right now because you ain't got it. Everybody want to go bowling, but don't nobody know no scripture. Everybody want to hang out. Everybody want church to be more exciting. You know why you're searching for excitement? Because sin brought excitement, but it was a demonic excitement, but it was an excitement nonetheless. So when you get saved, you're looking to replace, you're trying to figure out how do I replace this demonic excitement that I was connected to, and everything that you was connected to demonically that was exciting to you is contrary to the word of God. So you look at the word of God, so the enemy tricks you into believing that the word of God is boring. But what is boring about saving your life? That is the adventure. I am saving my life. I'm going to lie. Ain't nothing boring about saving your life. You see. But man, the world will tell you, and people will tell, you know, it's like everybody tell you, this ain't, you know, it's boring. No, dying and going to hell. Is that the excitement that you're looking for? Where there's a gnashing of teeth? Is that what you're looking for? You're looking for that exciting torture? I can't wait to get tortured. That's so exciting. Is that what you're looking for? No, I want to see this mansion. I'm in the mansions in the earth realm. You better believe I'm into them in heaven. Amen. Yeah. So you got to get your foundation, and that's what we're going to be doing. And that is what the kingdom is lacking. Again, let me say this, an overall emphasis of the church, kingdom disciples embrace training and equipping designed for the works inspired by their king. In other words, the works is the people that are not saved, and especially the people that are connected to you. You see what I'm saying? And then learn this. Sometimes they ain't your assignment. So you got to call somebody that's connected to you that it is their assignment. And you can't be worried about getting all the kudos and all the praise and all the accolades because you got them saved. No, baby. The thing is, we got to get you saved. It don't matter who did it. It don't matter who did it. You understand? So I'm going to stop right there. But we're going to start back Sunday. And get this. I got this challenge for everybody in the building. And it was birthed last night, and I was looking at my wife and she was asleep. And we hit the couch last night. Everybody was missing our daughter, and because now she's grown enough to be gone whole weekends and stuff. And so we was missing her. We was up talking about her and like, you know, we gonna start doing everything family because she ain't getting away. And so Miriam's on this side of the couch, and I'm on this other side of the couch, and I'm watching her. I'm watching her sleep, and I'm realizing how blessed I am. And sometimes you look at some things and you see how blessed you are, and it'll bring you to tears because you'd be like, "You're gonna wreck everything. You're just gonna mess up everything. You was gonna, you know, you could have just blew it all." And I'm looking at her, and I'm seeing God. And tears rolling down my eyes last night, I said, I've come to realize I have never appreciated truly what you have blessed me with. I should never be out of prison. I should never have this woman. And I definitely shouldn't, by the world standards, be pastoring a church. And I wanna from this night forward, I want to appreciate everything that you've done for me. This morning when I woke up, I felt like that should be the prayer for everyone that has never truly appreciated. And you know that you appreciate what it is that God has done for you when you don't do for the enemy anymore. You know? See, because like people like myself, the pastors, some of the teachers here, when we mess up, And the world is privy to it, we're working for Satan because people are connected to us that's going to say, "I ain't going to do it now. I'm not going near it now. I was so close to them and they were in this. I was so close to them and they were in that." And we begin to be employees of the kingdom of darkness because now we have pushed people away from God's light. And so I made this vow to God last night. I said, it's going to be the fight of my life because it's deep how God is releasing this right now. Because being good don't come so easy for me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like just doing the right thing all the time, that don't come so easy for me. Now, I'd like to tell you that it was just a walk in the park for me, but it's not. You know, I have some tendencies. You know, I have some natures that I have to die to daily to be able to walk this walk out. And until I die to these tendencies and these natures and these ways, then I'll never be everything that I'm supposed to be for the kingdom of God. I'll never be the right husband. I'll never be the right father. I'll never be the right pastor. But also, until you grab hold of your tendencies, natures, illicit desires, illegal mindsets, until you grab hold of those and begin to bring them under subjection to the Holy Spirit, or until you kill them daily, you will never be the best pastors, the best youth pastors. You'll never be the best moms, dads, aunties, uncles. You'll never be the best that you were supposed to be. You'll never be the best people of God. And on the strength of that, we will lose people. Did you hear me? We will lose people not being everything that we were called to be. Do you want to go to hell or do you want to go to heaven? And when you lay down, do you want to be able to say, "I was a part of people making it in"? The world has tricked us into forgetting this very thing. The enemy has tricked us into believing to care more about ourselves and the things that we have and what we're doing and how people see us than living for the kingdom of God. That's why sometimes when you say, well, I go to the Unity Worship Center, and some people say stuff like, oh, for real? They're not saying, oh, for real, you go to the Unity Worship Center. They're saying, oh, for real, you go to church? Isn't that scary? Isn't that scary? So my vow, from this day forward, to you as your pastor, as your father, ain't no more profanity. Ain't no more words that I shouldn't use. Ain't no more expecting you to be what I'm not. No more expecting you to be what I'm not. But with this vow, I have a request, and it's that we all stop playing church and live this thing for real. You can be an awesome businesswoman and still live this thing for real. You can go on to be, which I believe, I'm going to tell you something. You might think it's crazy, but I'm going to tell you something. I was looking at your picture about 3 weeks ago, and something dropped into my spirit and said, why can't she be the president? I promise you, something dropped into my spirit and said, why can't she be the president? Yeah, for real. And you can go on and do all of those great things, still living for him. Perhaps you are called to it. Perhaps you were called to switch a nation. Perhaps it's bigger than where you said, I will be successful then. Possibly it's bigger than that. You see? So, this is what I'm asking. Let's not, I don't want a pastor fake no more. And I don't want a pastor fake people. Amen. I didn't jig with him in the street. I'm definitely not going to jig with him in the kingdom. Amen? In closing, for all of you that may feel like he was hard on the babies today, no, pregnancy is hard on the babies today. Drug addiction is hard on the babies today. Penitentiary is hard on the babies today. Stripper poles are hard on the babies today. And all of these things are waiting. And we have to see,